The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Barlos. Ben Wilson is here as well. Get to Jason Weingarten in a second. Ben, I'm sure our guy, our guy Mikhail is very excited right now with the F1 qualifiers right now.
It is recorded another racing lines yesterday.
Yes.
So I know they're very excited. Also, for some reason, I have this Live Golf YouTube stream pulled up, and they just had a big flashing green breaking news thing across the top, and they just go to a lower third of breaking news: Bryson DeChambeau joins Live Golf. So I'm not sure that they exactly their breaking news seems to be slightly out of date since we only knew about that 48 hours ago. But I digress.
What are you going to do? By the way, the F1 race this week is Azerbaijan, the Baku city circuit for that one, Ben.
It's no French Super Cup, but you know.
What are you going to do?
Get the job done.
They're in Canada next week. I believe they're in Montreal next week. So a little bit better timing for us here in the States as opposed to Azerbaijan. Let's get to our guy, Jason Weingarten, of course, the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, here with us at VSiN on the Tweets at Spreadopedia. Jason, good morning. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. Let's just start with the Angels snapping the losing streak last night because that Ohtani guy is pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you want him to do? He goes out there, pitches six innings or seven innings? I think it was seven.
Seven.
Seven innings, hits his own, he's his own run support, gets himself the lead. I think that was the first time a pitcher has gotten himself the lead that late in the game since Noah Syndergaard did it a couple years ago as a pitcher against the Dodgers. So rare occurrence to see something like that. And it's just a reminder. I mean, obviously you have to remember I'm incredibly biased here because I have about $50,000 on Ohtani to win the MVP again. But who else is more valuable than guy who hits 101 off the bat and throws 101 strikeouts? You know, I mean, what are we arguing here?
Ohtani, as you said, Jason, the latest pitcher in a game to homer to give his team the lead since Noah Syndergaard did it on May 11th of 2016. Jason, that game, Noah Syndergaard hit two home runs off of Kenta Maeda, which makes a whole lot of sense. I remember that game too.
And before that, it was Jim Catt. Very long time ago doing it for the Twins. So it's a very rare occurrence, but you know, long season, obviously 14 game losing streak, very bad for the Angels. The bad start at Yankee Stadium, not great for Ohtani, not hitting as many home runs as Aaron Judge. But a lot going on. I mean, what else do you want Ohtani to do? You know, fly the plane?
Jason, I want to ask you on this because you brought this up earlier in the year, and that was the Cy Young angle for Ohtani. Of course, had that start in a Yankee Stadium. I know it will stick out to some. But what do you think Ohtani would have to do pitching-wise to go up the ranks there? He's still 30-1 right now. And as we talked about earlier in the week, that race is pretty open. We're also coming off a day where Gerrit Cole is still giving up home runs against the Twins.
Yeah, well, so I'm not going to say Cole's been eliminated, but his last start really has dropped him significantly, especially with guys like McClanahan and Verlander making statements out in front. I personally bet McClanahan and Ohtani before the season. I got 30 and 40-1 on Ohtani. It's kind of drifted back out to there about now. I think the thing with Ohtani is that you're basically banking on him hitting 200 strikeouts. If he doesn't kind of get plus or minus 10, maybe 190 or so, but if he doesn't get close to that 200 strikeout number, I don't think he's a serious contender with the other guys doing what they're doing. But I do think he deserves another look. He very much is one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Right now, McClanahan, just throwing that out there right now, McClanahan with an ERA sub 2, tied for the major league lead in wins. I know that doesn't matter much to some, but again, the traditional old voter, it might. Whip under 1, and right now, coming off that dominant start last night against the Cardinals, where he went 8 innings, gave up no runs, struck out 9, only walked 1. By the way, Jason, that was the first game all year yesterday where both starters pitched into the 8th inning, him and McClanahan and Michaelis.
And it's one of the things I've talked about a lot at the with the Cy Young stuff. I think Cy Young's one of the easiest races to predict because you have all the numbers in front of you all the time. But I do throw out April. And when I'm writing about Cy Young, I'm usually using like trailing 30-day numbers, mainly because I don't care about what happened the first month of the season because guys weren't throwing like they normally would. And I'm not going to hold it, you know, against you know, anybody, a good starter or a bad starter that had a first bad month of the season. Like Zach Wheeler, for example, he's right in the middle of the NL Cy race, had a average first month of the season, could easily end up top three when all said and done.
Jason, the home run leaders odds out there. Of course, Aaron Judge is five clear Yordan right now. You're almost not quite odds on, but a pretty reasonable favorite in that market. Is there anyone worth hopping in on at this point? Or I know you have Yordan tickets, but is there anyone else that's worth possibly hopping in on at this point with Judge five home runs clear of the rest of the field?
I would have said Pete Alonso earlier this week, but now I'm a little concerned about his hand injury. Got to get some more clarity on what his deal is. But I think Pete Alonso is definitely a threat. Beyond that, you're kind of really just playing games with, what do you think if Aaron Judge is going to stay healthy or not? Because if he does stay healthy, going to be hard to catch. You know, try to spin things my way, but I'm also realistic. Aaron Judge is doing some pretty solid things right now. Whether or not he wins the MVP, I still think it's up for debate, but he could easily run away with the home run market, and Yordan is the guy most likely to catch him.
NL MVP, Jason, about, I want to say it was about 3 weeks ago, a month ago, came on, you said the Guild, Mookie Betts 20-1 is crazy. And right now, Mookie Betts is your betting favorite. Since then, he's been phenomenal. Plus 290 at BetMGM. Machado, who I know you have a ticket on as well, at plus 425. Goldschmidt is the third favorite, along with Manny, at plus 450 right now. This is a race that last year you could have got Harper as high as 40-1 in the middle of the season. Of course, you and Gil had big numbers on Soto that almost got home a year ago. Is there anyone in that sort of category that you would look at in the NL MVP race, or is it really down to like those top 8-9 guys that are in that 25-1 range?
This market this year is mostly a top heavy market. I think if you really wanted to go look deep for value, you could make all sorts of cases for, you know, all sorts of players a little farther down the board, but really you got to beat those numbers that Mookie and Goldschmidt and Machado are putting up. So unless, you know, if you could make an argument that someone's going to do that, I'll listen, but I don't see it.
No,
Alonso, I guess.
Alonso's the one. I have a 40-1 from before the season with Alonso. I'm just going to let that thing ride, obviously. I guess the only one just looking at this, just eyeballing it, but it's not really that long of a long shot, would be Acuna if the Braves somehow come back and make that NL East race close and definitely are in the playoffs as a wild card. That would be the one that would kind of stand out to me. But I'm sure you would like more than 15-1, which is what I'm seeing.
Well, you know
right
what's now. Crazy? What's crazy with Acuna? He drifted all the way up to 80-1 this week at the Superbook.
Oh, my goodness.
I saw 80. I was like, oh, man, I really should bet some of that. And then he had the two home runs. I think it was versus Oakland, and they dropped it. So I did not get the 80-1. I was a little like annoyed about that, but I still am questionable. I don't think he's going to win, but he's very talented. He probably going to be one of the favorites next year again.
Right. 30-1 right now at Superbook. That's still
value.
High,
yeah. I mean, that's very high. If they come back and win the division, it's definitely in play. He also has 11 stolen bases after missing the first month of the season. Can't, you know, hate on that either.
No, not at all. Jason, do you have anything on the card today?
Oakland is about my only bet so far. I bet Oakland plus 150.
The A's today, plus 150 against Cleveland. Of course, the A's yesterday blowing a lead, but Jason likes the A's today. Any first innings yet, or waiting on that?
Too early. Just haven't had a chance to go through them yet today. They're also just the lines aren't up and out. But I did notice totals have been going up recently this last week or so, getting less value on those first innings. the last couple days.
Yeah, they just, again, an early onslaught early in the year of all those plus numbers on the yes. They were very, very minimal over the last few few days that I saw there, Jason. That's a good observation there.
Yeah, it does kind of screw around with what you can do sometimes.
Jason, are you betting the college baseball at all or no?
I've bet like two or three games here and there. I don't watch college baseball. I don't find it like enjoyable or fun. And the bats, I don't like the aluminum bats. So it really doesn't do it for me.
You can get Jason on the tweets at Spreadopedia. Of course, the Wide World of Wine Garden. Jason, 5 days a week now in the Wide World of Wine Garden, correct?
More or less. Coming out, new episode coming out later today.
All right, be on the lookout for that wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, find Jason every Wednesday and Friday here on A Numbers Game. Jason, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you guys later.
Of course. Sounds good. Jason Weingarten, everyone. Ben, the College World Series Super Regionals, of course, start in about an hour. Texas and ECU is the first game, noon Eastern, there in Greenville. East Carolina is the better seed, +140 at home today.
Expect some really long. If you're new to college baseball, just betting this stuff, get ready for just a marathon. Some of these games are just brutal.
Cool. Very low total too, 9.5. Don't see that very often in college baseball, Ben. When we come back, though, we'll look at the Belmont Stakes, look at today's baseball card, and more. Numbers Game, VSiN. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. The betting splits page will show you where the money and the bets are moving for every single game. And now it's updated every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Happy to be with you. It is a numbers game. I'm Jeff Parles. Ben Wilson is here as well. Slow jamming with Vinny in 15 minutes. Be a fun time as always having Vinny in studio. Ben, you're saying Tyrrell Hatton is complaining again about North American golf courses?
Yeah, biggest upset is that Tyrrell Hatton not on the LIV Golf Tour yet, but he apparently just sliced a 3-wood into the woods and then said that shot was about as good as this hole.
That's good.
Is
that's
what
good.
Now,
after complaining about American golf courses, complaining about Canadian golf courses. That's good.
We just expand it to
just
North America.
Just expanded the whole North America at this point for Tyrrell Hatton. Right now, of course, the Canadian Open, leading right now, still Wyndham Clark. That 7-under still holding up from yesterday, Ben. Aaron Smalley tied for the lead with him. 16 through 16 already there at St. George's, just outside of Toronto. Ben, our investigation earlier this morning concluded that the Belmont Stakes are tomorrow, which came as a shock to me by the end of that investigation. And right now we are seeing the Kentucky Derby champion, the second longest shot in the history of the Derby, Rich Strike, is running. And Ben, he's 7-2. Which I need to look through Circa and see if they're offering this. I did not see it when I looked earlier. I want a place basically for Rich Strike and bet it over. Give me 3.5. Give me 4.5. He's finishing. He's more likely to finish last than he is to win this thing. And he right now is on that. Those are the lines from a little bit earlier. The third favorite, Mo Donegal, and We the People. Your current favorites, Mo Donegal, looks like you might be back up to 5-1 now. We're making 5-2 on Mo Donegal, so that's a +250. So We the People, Flavian Pratt, riding the one horse, your favorite right now, and only an 8-horse race, of course, the longest of the 3 Triple Crown races. There will be no Triple Crown winner, as we know. Of course, Rich Strike did not run in the Preakness a few weeks ago in Baltimore. And, of course, the Preakness won earlier in the year by early voting. The five horse, that one not running in the Belmont streak. That's great, Ben. We have the winner of the Derby doesn't run in the Preakness, and the winner of the Preakness doesn't run in the Belmont Stakes. That's great.
No, that's exactly that's what
great,
we
great
all
work
expected.
By everyone involved.
Circa has not yet posted the, because they will put up the props of exact finishing position. Those are not up yet. Rich Strike is plus 475 if you are so if you actually were inclined to bet that. But
what's the no on that right now?
Let's see.
That would be it'll be probably too much to lay, but Rich Strike's not winning.
Minus 645, Jeff. If you're feeling actually, like the bankroll is ready for an adventure.
Boy, that would be a fun way to spend your Saturday sweating out a minus six over $6 bet there.
That would be a very Parlesian bet to make.
Yeah, there's
no way this horse is winning, and then he ends up winning by four lengths.
Yes, yeah. wins with ease. Yeah, that would be my luck. I'm with you on that one, Ben. Ben, the baseball card today. We talked about it earlier. You did have one play on the super regionals in college baseball, and that was Texas A&M to win the series, though not individual
correct.
Game today.
Correct? The two aces in that series, Texas A&M and Louisville, are pitching tomorrow. Interestingly enough, not game one, and A&M's actually a home dog today. But I took A&M minus 115 for the series. Love their bullpen. Both teams great offense. That is the highest total on the board today of 14.5. Yes, and that's not even close to the highest total we've seen throughout the postseason so far. So that is my one super regional play at the old Bluebell Park in College Station, Texas, riding the veteran Jim Schlossnagel, first-year head coach for Texas A&M.
Ben, of course, went 4-0 last week in the regional pick, so no pressure.
A lot of pressure here.
No pressure whatsoever. First game for that starts 30 minutes from now, 40 minutes from now, I should say. Texas and ECU. Texas, a big favorite in game one at minus 2.25 in Greenville today. ECU plus 170 on the takeback, plus 145 for the series on the 8-seeded Pirates as they get going there in Greenville, North Carolina. The MLB card today, Ben, not much stands out to me. Ben, what's going on with your Brewers?
You yesterday, there was a huge steam move up behind Corbin Burnes, and I said, don't bet him. The series for them to get right is this weekend because they go to Washington, take on just a dismal Nationals team, and a lot of market respect for Aaron Ashby, who's been up and down, but I do like him in this spot against Eric Fetty, who, of course, the last time I bet against Eric Fetty, he shut out the Dodgers 1-0. So, but all the advanced numbers would tell you there's a lot of regression coming there with Fetty, guy with a really high walk rate. And this would, Todd Wischtev talked earlier how the Brewers have really, really struggled against lefties. Fetty is basically the type of pitcher they feast on. Righty who nibbles around the zone, does not attack early, and doesn't throw a lot of strikes. So this feels like the perfect spot for them to break out of it. But, yeah, it's been as bad of a stretch as they've played all season.
Fetty has been, when he's been good this year, he's been phenomenal. Of course, you mentioned that 1-0 shutout of the Dodgers he had earlier in the year. And when he's been bad, he has been absolutely brutal. ERA over 8 in his starts, going less than 5 innings so far this year. The rest of the card, not much stands out. The only thing I would consider going after, since the Royals have amazingly won 2 games in a row, they beat the Orioles last night. Zimmerman and Hisley is your pitching matchup today in KC. I would actually look to go with the road standing Orioles. That would be the only thing I would look at today on this card. The Royals offense is just so bad. And they had a big day yesterday. Big day yesterday. Clutch hitting, which you hadn't seen all year. Carlos Santana even hit a home run, who surprisingly enough is still in the major leagues at this point with the way he has played with. Ben, his nice OPS of 600 so far this year for Santana. Very, very quality there for Carlos Santana. But I would look to take Baltimore. Again, these prices are all over the place on this game. One book has Kansas City favored. Another book has Baltimore favored, so shop around as always for the best price you can on the Orioles for the KC and Baltimore tonight. That's a 8:00 Eastern time start in the city of Fountains. The other one I also would look at, Ben, and going against what I said yesterday on the show, I would lay it with Tyler McGill and the Mets tonight against Diaz of the Angels. Of course, the Angels snapping the losing streak last night. Shohei Ohtani, 7 great innings, a home run. The latest a starting pitcher has hit a home run to give his team the lead since 2016. By the way, Ben, I think Ohtani's going to hold that record for a while.
You think so?
Think he's gonna hold that.
What
one
makes you
for
say that?
I think he's gonna hold that record.
How relieved are you that you don't have to be going to Angel Stadium to watch the 16 straight loss Angels team take on your Mets?
It would be
that's a pretty big relief.
It would be the most automatic bet of all time on the Angels if they did not win last night.
Probably
automatic. But McGill comes back from biceps tendonitis. His numbers are really skewed because he had that horrible, horrible start when the biceps started to act up in Washington, where he didn't get through 2 innings. Other than that start, he's pitched very well so far this year. It was just at that start against the Nats, where, Ben, if you give up an eight earned in an inning and a third, that's going to it's gonna mess up your ERA, especially early in the season. But I would lay the $1.25 in that category. So you can get $1.22. So shop around again. I would lay it with the Mets tonight in Anaheim against the LA Angels. Big weekend, though, more than anything in baseball. The biggest series on the board is in San Francisco, the Dodgers and the Giants. The first of 3 at Oracle Park tonight. Walker Buehler, who got hit around pretty good over the weekend by the Mets, will go tonight, -147 favorite on the road, I should say, against Jacob Junis, who has pitched shockingly well so far in his early San Francisco tenure after really getting run out of Kansas City. More so than anything, the Giants right now, that NL wild card race, again, over 100 games ago, a lot of time, very close between the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Braves, all separated by a game right now for the 2nd and 3rd wild cards in the National League. The Padres, of course, have opened up a 4.5 game lead on San Francisco and a 4-game lead in the loss column for this against the St. Louis Cardinals. Padres have right now. The Padres get the Rockies for 3 at Petco Park starting tonight after winning 2 out of 3 against the Mets. And the Cardinals return home after getting swept in Tampa in the midweek by the Rays, who again, as a matter of how well they played, the Yankees still 7 games clear in the American League East. 41-16 for the New York Yankees to begin the year, winning a series in Minnesota, despite Gerrit Cole giving up 5 homers yesterday in less than 3 innings. Slow jamming with Vinny Baliulo. He joins us next as we roll along here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN Summer Special is here. For just $39, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now through the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN, and subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily best bet on MLB. Jonathan Von Tobel will have the best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil will break down all of the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup Final. Plus, we'll have plenty of preseason coverage on the NFL, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which includes a daily best bet email, every additional point spread weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is just $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now, vsin.com/summer. It is A Numbers Game here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. Ben Wilson is here. And we can get the music going. We can get the music going, as we always do, on a Friday. There it is.
That's right.
Slow jam.
It's like the lounge at the Sands back in 1968. What do you say, Parlay?
I'm doing pretty well.
That's everything. Great read, I have to tell you. So just quick story. You know, I did a read once.
Once.
I was sitting with the great Brent Musburger one day, and he had this read, and he said, "Vinny, do this read." And Ron Flatter was sitting next to him, so I said, "Sure, I'll do this read." And it was I'd never done a read, which no big deal. I know how to read, so it was a good start. So I'm sitting there and I'm doing the read. And, of course, during the, as you know from being the trained professional that you are, there are little notations in there that you don't read. Like, for instance, ad lib here. Personal experience. Well, I'm doing the read. I'm reading everything. Ad lib here and everything. And I look over. Brent is just rolling. Flatter's literally laying on the desk in hysterics. That was my last read. But it was a good experience. So, well done.
No, that's
you and Dick Stockton have one thing in common, Vinny.
Is that right?
Did he did the same. Yes.
Yeah, did
on
he?
An NFL game. He said, so, coming up on the Visa halftime report, read this line.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I did it. You told me to read it. I read it.
No, you did it verbatim.
That's why I did it verbatim. I stay in my wheelhouse.
you know, Vinny, I will say, I have not. It's very rare now that we see an ad lib here in our reads.
Oh, see,
so,
I probably had an impact.
You impacted the way that our reads came out because of that.
Let's put that in my in my archives.
The best part of that is. You do know we know you know how to read. We know
well,
that.
That's,
we know that.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
that's that's good. So Vinny, Belmont, let's start there.
Belmont,
let's start at Belmont, and then we'll get into some college football that discussion that we were having off the air here. Rich Strike this short.
You know, Rich Strike, obviously the 80-1 shot that won the Kentucky Derby, which I'm still trying to get wrap my head around. A lot of people are. You know, the favorite, the morning line favorite is We the People at 2-1, the one horse. And then Rich Strike is the four horse at 7-2. I have to tell you, I think this is a byproduct of obviously, you know, the surprise in the Derby, but the fact that he took off the Preakness. And I was one that said, look, you know, if the Derby was this, was the Belmont at that on that day, he probably would have won by four lengths, okay? Fine. But I don't see that happening here, personally, because, first of all, the fractions in that race were ridiculous. You're not going to see those kind of fractions in a mile-and-a-half race. The size of the field certainly is one of the Derby anomalies, right? I mean, or I should say a very unique factor when it comes to the Derby. A 20-horse field is an absolute wild card factor. So, look, not taking anything away from the horse. I don't particularly care for the horse in this race. I don't see it setting up the same way. Has a good post position. But it's a completely different strategy as well. Now, for me, I like the six horse, Mo Donegal. This is Todd Pletcher, who's also got the three horse, the filly, Nest. At 8-1 on the morning line. So I like Mo Donegal. Ran a pretty decent, not an awful Derby. Finished, I believe, fifth in the Derby. I'll take Irad Ortiz in a big race like this. So look, to me, I think this the way this race sets up. I like Mo Donegal. I do like We the People a bit, and I think that Nest can hit the board, but. I guess I'm going to let Rich Strike beat me again. I watched the Derby again the other day, and it's great. Larry Culmus with the great call. The first time you heard that horse's name was when he crossed the finish line. And like everybody else, I thought it was the two horse. I'm like, where the? So I wish that there were more horses in this race, too, to kind of add to the liquidity because, it's probably going to shape up to be a bit chalky. But... Look, it is the Belmont. I've been to the Belmont Stakes. It's an exciting time. I've been to Belmont many times. In fact, first bet I ever made, I was 8 years old, was at Belmont. So I went with my Uncle Tony, who took me. And I think I told that story. I thought I was going to the zoo and then realized pretty quickly that the only animals at this particular zoo were horses. So
I've been to one Belmont.
Okay.
One Belmont. My dad did some work for Naira in the early 2000s. Okay. I was at War Emblem when War Emblem was going for the Triple Crown. It was 2002.
Okay.
2002.
Fell short.
War Emblem stumbles out of the gate
yeah.
at Belmont.
Yeah.
tries to make it up, runs out of steam, and that was 73-1 shot. Sarava won that day with Edgar Prado on board.
Wow. Great experience. Belmont, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, right? I've been there, like I said. So, but again, it's still the Belmont Stakes. Obviously, we're not going to have a Triple Crown winner this year with Rich Strike skipping to Preakness. But again, I do enjoy the ponies and enjoy, it's a decent card. The races are I wish the fields were bigger. There's quite a few stakes races on the card today. It's kind of a short, these fields are, I was quite disappointed in that, look, I enjoy the Triple Crown. So, you know, that it's
of course
something close to my heart.
Of course. Let's move the basketball real quick.
Yeah.
Here in the last few minutes before, of course, you hang around for the next segment. 2-1 Celtics lead. Of course, Celtics 4-point favorites tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny, is this just basically been a series where most of the bettors have come out, bet the favorites at least early on here?
I think what we've seen is pretty much the same trend that we saw in previous rounds, right? Where favorites drew quite a bit of money. Now, sophisticated, more professional bettors obviously looking for the best price on the dog in many cases. So the Celtic game, game one was good for us. Game two, that was pretty. It was a bit predictable, and we took that into consideration, kind of that zigzag theory. The other night, the number didn't come into play, but the fact is that we saw that. I think today, everybody was kind of waiting about Curry, right? So this game's holding steady at 4. We've not gotten off of 4 yet. Curry's going to play. I mean, if
of course,
there's no question that he's going to play. Is he 100%? Probably not. But I think there'll be. I get the sense that there may be more two-way action today than we've seen in the first couple of games. The total's only ticked down about a half a point from 215 to 214.5. So that doesn't mean that the number will or won't come into play in terms of the result. But the other thing is, too, if there's more one-sided action here, it will probably be on the Warriors, given the fact that they've had success on the road. But both of these teams have really done well on the road, right, when you think about it. So, And personally, yeah, I mean, we want this to be as long a series as possible, right? So,
well, I think we all are in that camp for sure. But both teams in this series have now lost a game after losing a game this postseason. They're undefeated after losses. Guys offering props? How's that been so far?
Props have been good. I mean, people like props. Parlay, the game obviously gets the majority of the handle, but I think there's more play on the first half and halftime than and the quarters, frankly, and then the end game compared to a lot of the props. Props, individual player props draw some attention and things like that. But for the most part, the quarters and the halves do more.
Vinny, when we come back, games of the year in college football.
Yeah.
There are some numbers that we want to talk about, and of course, Stanley Cup playoffs rolling along as well. Game 6 tomorrow in Tampa Bay. More slow jamming coming your way next here on A Numbers Game. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards. Sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, valuable perks, and much more when you wager on the BetMGM app. So sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older to place a wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Adlib. It is a numbers game here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. Ben Wilson's here. Vinny Maliulo is here as well. Vinny, we learned more about the past of Vinny Maliulo in the last break.
Running out of gas was was kind of my I would do it. I ran out of gas the day I was headed to the 73 Belmont Secretariat, all-time record. Yeah, I did. I ran out of gas. I had to watch it at home. I just take a shot. You know, I was like, I knew I'd said, you know, first thing, I'll get gas on the way, wherever I'm going, you know, but I guess I was out a little later than anticipated the Friday night before and wound up rolling the dice a little, I sevened out on the gas. So yeah, I was heading to Belmont, ran out of gas. I was like, God. So yeah.
It's unfortunate.
I had to watch it on the old black and white. So
now that stock photo of you at the pump makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, there is. I have earned the file photo for the gasoline frustration. Of course, I also credit myself for being a visionary because the I don't know where we have with that picture where it is right now. I'm sure
somewhere in the system
we'll dig it up. But I also consider myself a visionary because the disgust I had on my face in that photo was when gas was half of what it is now. So you should see me now. They'd probably censor it right now if I was at the pump.
You're ahead of your time.
Yeah, definitely. You're ahead I try of to be time. A visionary. You know, we're thinking ahead all the time in this business. So I tried to do the same with the gas situation.
Yeah. No, it all makes sense now, Vinny. I want to go to college football real quick because your games of the years have been put up. What games have been bet in a big way so far?
I'll give you some examples.
Please.
Here. The very first game, September 10th, Alabama against Texas.
Game in Austin.
Yes. We opened Alabama 12. Game is 16. So a 4-point move. Now, when we put these up, these are not the same types of moves or the same level of move, I should say, as we'll see on the 10th. What do I mean by that? Typically, you know, on a 12, you might go right to 13, which we did in this case, or 13 and a half. But you're not going to move in half-point increments with these, okay? The play on these games is by, when we put them up last Friday, and for the first few days, is by professional bettors, I mean, and well-respected bettors, which, again, I will say this. You want that because you want their opinions. Now, they've done their work, and they've, you know, made their numbers. And so these are games that are going to typically move a lot quicker than they will when we put them up for that particular week, obviously. So that one is one that moved from 12 to 16. September 22nd, Virginia Tech from -8 to -3 versus West Virginia. So a pretty significant move there. Again, these are not half point increments, and at 2,000 a play, which is a fair bet early on. I mean, we'll take more when we get in the actual season and things like that. And if we need more now to try to, you know, balance some of these games, then we'll do it. BYU September 29th, 24 down to 19 versus Utah State. How about an academy game, October 1st, Air Force from 19 down to 12 versus Navy.
Hmm. How did BYU Utah State make the list, Vinny?
We tried to put up a good variety, and BYU, we get a lot of, you know, BYU action here, you know, and BYU, the thing is, you'll see BYU throughout here, throughout these games of the year, they play anybody. Their schedule, you know, let's face it, people talk about the fact that you know, who's got the strength of schedule. BYU, I mean, this is not a particularly this is one of their weaker games, obviously, against Utah State. But when you look at BYU's schedule, they'll play anybody. So, in fact, they're going to play Notre Dame here. In fact, where is that game? I'll give you, we put that game up. We'll find it in the schedule. But BYU gets a lot of interest here. UCLA on November 19th from -5 to 1.5 versus USC in that rivalry game there. So, so there's a couple of teams that we had a lot of conversation on too. The first one that we had the most conversation on, and when I say we, Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro, and myself, in terms of really trying to break them down and get our arms around them, USC. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of public support for USC, especially with Lincoln Riley going there. The fact that they did, with the transfer portal, they had a lot of success at the skill position players. Off, you know, when I say skill position, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, those positions. But for me, I think they really had to address their offensive line and their defense, and I think that still remains to be seen how that's going to play out, right? But SC did get some support in their games. In fact, there's one game that moved quite a bit. We were talking about it off air on October 15th, SC at Utah, and we're pretty high on Utah, Chrissy and I. Open that game, Utah 12. It's down to Utah 7. So again, they're up there. They're got a lot of play. In fact, the play on the first day, last Friday, exceeded the handle on week one of college football and week one of the NFL so far combined. Now that's not really shocking. But that gap will narrow as we get through the summer. These will continue to get played, but certainly week one of both college and pros will get played as well. So that'll narrow down. But it's a great exercise. It's a lot of fun. I'm trying to. Where's that BYU? Where's that
BYU Notre Dame is on October 8th.
October 8th. And that game again is here, and we used Notre Dame 5. I don't think they haven't touched it yet.
That feels right.
Well, okay, I guess it is then.
as
opposed to the other ones, they feel wrong.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying that's one that obviously you guys came out with a number that a lot of the Sharpies think
they,
is right.
They probably, you know, it was you know, they were probably, that was the consensus, right, on both our side of the counter and the other side of the counter. So,
real quick, hockey.
Yeah.
Lightning up 3-2. Lightning, pretty reasonable favorite to close things out in game 6.
They'll be a 9-5, be about $1.80. They'll probably get played. I think, you know, from an emotional standpoint, you wonder what the Rangers have here. And the Lightning in this spot over in the last few years have been extremely successful and dangerous. So the obvious question is looking ahead to Tampa Bay you know, what they'd be against
Colorado.
Colorado, the home team. I think you're probably going to see. I think $2. I think is too high against the defending champ. So probably about $1.80. I'm going to say right now. And of course, we'll see how they come out health wise, right? And you may see point back for Tampa Bay. And I think
so. Kadri's not going to play in all likelihood with the thumb.
I wonder. I don't know. You know, we didn't think Stamkos was going to play a couple of years ago when he came in and he scored a goal in a minute, right?
So played well. He did the Willis Reed role in the bubble in 2020. No, that's I'm very interested to see when you guys open that. I think $1.80, $1.70 feels about where that should open. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if sharper bettors come in and actually lay that price with Colorado.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. Well, but there's value too with the 2-time defending champs who know how to get it done. So I think it's going to be a great betting series. But and by the way, if it's the Rangers, you might see
$3,
anywhere from $2.80 to $3. Yeah.
Okay. Rangers big underdog to come back and win the last two in the Eastern Conference Finals. Vinny, it's always
good
a pleasure.
Good to see you too.
Enjoy your weekend. That's all the time we have here on A Numbers Game. The Lombardi Line. Patrick Maher, Michael Lombardi comes your way next. For Ben Wilson, I'm Jeff Parles. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.